We've got a brilliant message this morning where we will be leading into communion at the end. So if you've seen the little bread and juice on your seats, don't lose them. They'll come up later. But I'm going to hand over now to Pastor Rachel. This could very well be her last Sunday sermon before our little one arrives. So she's prepared. She's ready. It's going to be awesome. So let's be ready. Take some notes with Pastor Rachel as she comes to speak this morning.
Thank you. Yeah, so it probably is one of my last preachers for a good few months. So, I'm really excited about what I want to share with you. And it's something I feel like I've been praying through with this season of praying and fasting. And I don't know what you're fasting right now, or I don't know if you've ever done this before. I know for me, fasting was, when I first started at 18, that I went to church and they were like, oh, we're going to do prayer and fasting. And I was like, wait, like, I actually have to give something up. And I remember when I was 18, it was actually one of the hardest things I've done was giving up sweet things for 3 weeks. As a teenager, I was like, oh, I've got to give something up. And I had to go around and just actually say no to something. And then over time, I remember the next year, I was like, okay, I'm going to do meats and sweets. And then the next year, I was like, okay, I'm going to do a lunch and I'm going to spend that time praying. I want to. It changed from when I was 18, like, really? Like, they're asking me to fast? And then it was like, you know what? I actually want to fast. I actually want to do this lunchtime thing. It's great. And then when my parents were young, they used to do the lunchtime fast. And that was great. And then eventually, after a few years, I was like, actually, I really enjoy a 24-hour fast. That's amazing, and Chris will do longer fast than that. And actually, it's. I think we go on a process. Some people straight away, it's like, yes, fasting. This is going to be amazing. But strange people. But I know for me, it was like, actually, I need to learn this discipline. But actually, it's my heart that wants to connect with God. It's my heart that wants to spend that time with Him. And today I want to talk about this word called abiding in the Bible. And so abiding, Jesus uses many, many times. And I really want to give the thought about that we're here to connect. We're here to connect into the source, connect into Jesus. I think really there can be so many distractions in our lives, so many things going on. And I think fasting is a time of actually saying, I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop that distraction. I'm going to stop that thing. I'm going to change my cycle. And I know they've done scientific studies on fasting and actually how even your cells reset themselves when you fast. And it's that actually, I'm going to fast. I'm going to do a day, or I'm going to do this. And actually, I'm going to reset and say, actually, I want to, at the start of the year, and I want to say that this year is one where it's for you. It's not one where Jesus is kind of on the side, but I'm going to stop and I'm going to connect into you. And you might be looking at me and being like, well, how are you fasting? And yeah, it's a little bit different for me this year in terms of food. But in terms of like scrolling the news, just that constant noise. And I absolutely love waking up in the morning and I scroll through everything. I go through every news page. I go through every social media page. And I do the same thing at night. And then actually for me, it's like, no, the distraction, it's gone. And I'm going to have the prayer app on. I'm going to go to bed with the prayer app. And I'm going to say, actually, Jesus, no, you are front and center right now. You are front and center, and I want to connect in with you. So I want to talk about this word, abiding. And we don't actually use it that much nowadays, but I love the picture that Jesus uses for the word abiding. And so he uses the picture of a vineyard, so vines. And on the screen behind me is some pictures of me and Chris visiting a vineyard. And this is actually in Surrey. It's in the UK, would you believe it? So in the UK, we don't grow a lot of grapes. We don't grow that stuff because we don't have a warm climate. But what we can grow is white grapes for like a white wine or a sparkling wine. But if you go to the Middle East, they have these vines everywhere, or you go to the south of France and there's these vines everywhere with red grapes, and it's all flourishing and it's all growing. And Jesus would have been at the time probably around fields and fields of vines in just a really warm climate, with these amazing grapes growing, the fruit growing. And Jesus uses this picture of these vines, and he says that I'm the vine. So I'm the source and you are the branches. So he's telling his disciples that actually you need to be the branches connected to the vine. So, and he says that actually when that branch falls off the vine, so when that branch is falling off the plant, the vine, the thing that's keep giving it nutrients, the thing that's fruit, it's no longer got the source, it's no longer got that life coming into it. When that branch removes itself, there's not fruit, but when the branch is attached to the vine, there's fruit. And Jesus is saying this to his disciples, knowing that he's going to go to the cross, knowing that they're going to face many things, and they're going to face many, even when after Jesus comes back, and the disciples are going to go through persecution and different things when they share their faith. He knows all of the future, and he's saying to them to be encouraged, to stay in him, to really connect into him. So it's this picture that abiding is this branch fully connected. And I like to think that, I would like to think that I'm connected to the vine all the time, but I know that sometimes things distraction. I know that sometimes there's people, there's unforgiveness, there's things in my world that happen. Sometimes there's fear, sometimes there's anxiety, sometimes there's racing thoughts. And what this really is saying, what Jesus is saying, is come fully connect into me. Fully connect. Abiding is fully connecting into the source, ensuring that actually these branches are growing. I want to ask you this morning, are you growing? Are you growing in God? Are you connected to the source? So the Bible verse is on the screen. We read in John 15, and Jesus says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I think there's a few questions that I see different people ask. There's the question that some people ask of, have I done enough? Have I done enough for salvation? Have I done enough to prove I'm a Christian here? Or sometimes in the UK, people are like, have I been to church my once a year? And I think that's the wrong question. Being abiding in God and actually being connected to the source, it's not, have I done enough? Or have I fasted enough to see this breakthrough? Have I worked my way up enough? It's, how can I have more of Jesus? That's the question I think that is one of, actually, I want to be connected to the source. So when we're saying about fasting, it's not like, have I done enough to get by? And maybe when I was 18, it was a little bit like, have I done enough to prove that I'm going along with this? But then my heart transformed. And I was like, actually, I want to do this. I want to spend this time with Jesus. I want to abide. I want to know him more. I want to get away all these distractions. And it's it's actually saying, how can I have more of Jesus? And that's a question I'd love you to think about this year. How can I have more of Jesus? Connect. I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to go, you know what, I've done all these things, ticked off the list. Okay, bye, I can now do my own thing, and I can do this, and I can do that, apart from God. God's saying, actually, I want to fuel you. I want to energize you in work. I want to energize you with family. I want to show you my provision. I want to show you my ways. If you've been through a restless season, I believe Jesus is saying, come to me. Come to me, those who are weary and burdened, and I will give you that rest. I want to give you life in every aspect. I know that, and I've seen this in people, I've seen it in myself, what we can do sometimes is the branch can connect in, but then there's parts of the branch that go, actually, no, I'm going to connect this way, I'm going to connect this way, I'm going to do this, and actually to say, you know what? I want all of the branch to be aligned with God. I think even the most mature Christian, it's like, how can I have more of Jesus? How can I have more of that life flowing through me so that I'm not here and I'm not there, but how can I have more of Jesus? And then I think we see miracles. So we see in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So this is amazing. This is an amazing promise that actually when we are connected to Jesus, that he actually wants to release miracles. He actually wants to answer prayer. He actually wants for you to see signs and wonders in your life. And I'm still amazed by the story in the last few months and in the church of just an amazing lady. And we'll probably share her story a little bit more. But she was diagnosed at the end of last year with bone cancer. And she's young and it's just absolutely crazy. And we were praying and praying and praying, and I know Chris has said last week, but we were praying, and then we saw one test, no active cancer, and the doctors were confused. And then there was another one, the specialists have said, actually, yeah, pray for that miracle, but it's amazing that we actually have a God of the miraculous. We have a God that wants to heal, wants to set free. We have a God that wants to see your life transformed and changed, wants to, when we're connected to the source, that life is flowing through us, that eternal life, that healing power, that deliverance. In Psalm 37, verse 4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delighting ourselves in God. It's not necessarily about a religious practice. I mean, sometimes it does take a bit of a jump, the first step. And I would say with fasting, it does sometimes take the first step to doing this, the first step to saying, actually, I want to connect into God in this way. But it's really about a delight. It's about a joy wanting to know more of Jesus, wanting to connect into more of Jesus. But yeah, really practically, to pray, to fast, to spend time with God, I believe is delighting in God. And through that, I believe he changes our heart so that our words become his words become our words. And we end up dreaming with God. We end up having Even our thoughts are transformed to his way and to his will. And his will is so good. His will is full of life and life to the full. It's not restrictive. It's not trying to push you down. It's God is there for life. He wants to give you life and life to the full in abundance. And so I want to abide. I want to be connected even more. I want to be connected to God. The second way that you can abide, I believe, so the first way is through that prayer and fasting, what we're doing right now as a church and spending time with God and delighting in that. The second way I believe we can, is through the word, is through Jesus. We know that in John 8, it said, Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I don't know this morning if you're feeling like, actually, I'm going through a season of anxiety. I'm going through a season that I feel bound by, or this anger, or I feel bound by this situation, or I feel bound by this insecurity, or I feel bound by what's gone on in my workplace, or all of that sort of stuff. I know that Jesus can bring freedom. I know that the truth can set us free. I know that actually God can renew your mind so that the truth can set you free, but we actually need more of Jesus. Jesus is the living word, and I want to know more of his words. I want to know more of what he says, and I want to know more of the freedom that brings into my life. I want to abide. I want to be connected to his words, connected to his ways, so that I can know the place where I'm not bound, I'm not held back, I'm not got chains around me. I can live in a place where it's my freedom. I can live in a place of hope. I can live in a place of a future. I can live in a place of peace. I love with the vine and that whole like picture. Jesus is saying that the fruit can grow when the branch is connected to the vine. And we know that the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, kindness, it's goodness, it's gentleness, it's self-control. That fruit can grow when we continue to be connected into the vine, when we continue to be connected into the source, when we continue to be connected into the ways, the words, the word of Jesus, we continue to be connected, that can grow in our world. And who needs more peace in the room? I mean, I think we all do. Who needs more patience? Who needs more kindness? Who needs to know the love of God? Who needs to know the joy of the Lord? We can experience that joy because we are connected. And I believe this year, my prayer is that we can see chains fall off and that fruit grow in people's worlds, that their minds, my mind even further to be transformed into everything God has, into a even more peace, even more joy, even more of God's goodness. And I can tell you, even from the last number of years, just how much God has changed my mind, how much God is changing and continuing to change my mind. And it comes from abiding in him and letting that fruit grow, letting Jesus in, letting his words in, and saying, actually, I want that. I want more of you, Jesus. It's not my tick box exercise and then I can do my own thing. It's about actually how can I have more of you, Jesus. I want to change, I want to transform, and I want to see this fruit in my world. Verse 8 of John, and so provoke to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So another way we can abide in Jesus, we can abide in God, is we abide through love. We choose to say, actually, I'm not going to hold this. I'm not going to hold this person to all this bitterness, to all this stuff. I choose to love. I choose to forgive. And you know what? That is difficult. If you've been around people for long enough, you'll know that is tricky. And it's hard when you're trying to do it on your own. But I believe actually Jesus empowers us. He empowers us through his words. And his living word helps us. That truth sets us free and actually helps us, enables us to love. It's not like I can go and just push it all down and say, you know what, this happened and this happened and this happened, but everything is fine. Sometimes I say this. and everything is fine and I still love people, but inside I'm like, ah. But Jesus actually enables us a heart transformation to say, actually, you know what? Maybe that situation was hard, but I give it to you, Lord. I release that person. I release that situation. I release them from my judgment. And you know what? I choose to live a life that abides in your love. What you commanded us to do, to love God and to love one another. I choose to do that. And that's tricky. Verse 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father another. So again, Jesus is saying that actually if we're abiding in this love, and actually the whole point of it is to love one another, but he's saying whatever you ask in the Father's name, he will give to you, in the same passage about abiding. So he says it basically twice. It's powerful. I'm excited for bold prayers this year. I'm excited to see people's worlds transformed and changed. But the point of it, and we see the point of it in the last verse, is so that the world, I believe, sees Jesus, so that the world sees a God of love, so that we can actually show the love of God to one another. The point of it was never for me to have the greatest promotion so that I can show that I'm better than everyone else. That's not the point. The point of me asking for things and asking Jesus, abiding in him, knowing him, is so that the world actually can see the love of God. And so the point of it is love. So the point of it is Jesus. The point of it is his words. The point of it is his commandments. The point of it is his love. So we can ask anything of Jesus. We can ask anything of him. We can ask anything of the Father. We can abide in him and we can say, Jesus, I want you more. I want your love. I want the point of this to be love and actually see Jesus. To see a God that came down and died on a cross for us so that we might live. And that's the reason. And that's the reason God wants to show his miracles to the world. He wants to show his healings to the world. He wants to show the work through you to the world. He wants to show you the breakthroughs that I believe God is going to give this year. And we've seen breakthroughs already in many people's lives in the last year. And I believe there's more coming next year. But it's so the world, and that they will follow. They will turn away from their old ways and they will come to Jesus and they will abide in him. And they will want to know more of Jesus, want to know more of this source that is giving them life. That can, when they connect their branches to him, can bring them eternal life. 1 John 4 says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. So the third way, as I said, it's abiding in love. Abiding in the love of God. Choosing that actually, that's what I want to step into. I want to step into the fullness of Jesus' words. the fullness. I want to know more. I want to know more of God's love. Even where I've been hurt, I want to actually have healing. And I want to know. I want to know a God that loves me. I want to know a God that's for me. I want to know a God that actually wants to get to know me. And the fourth way I want to say that we can abide is actually through what we're going to do right now. We're going to have a time of communion, a time of remembering what Jesus has done for us, that God so loved the world that he died for us. He chose to take everything. He chose to take all of the shame, all of the guilt, all of the fear, all of the anger, all of the stuff that people do. He chose to take that away, and he chose to bring us eternal life. He chose to bring us life in him, life to the full, eternal life that can never fade away. And drinks my blood, abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is my bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. So this bread that we remember Jesus, it's not just like bread, flour, and cooked in an oven. It's the bread of life. It's the bread of healing. Jesus says that actually when we eat the bread, it's a symbol of his flesh, that actually he died on the cross so that we could live. When we drink the juice, it's a symbol of his blood, the blood that covers over everything we've done. We choose to say, actually, Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you can cover. There's power in the death and resurrection of Jesus. There's power that Jesus came on the cross for us. There's power when we have times of communion. So right now, we're going to pick up our little communion pots. And this is a symbol, as we can see on the screen. I'll just let you firstly roll these back. So if you take the wafer in your hand, this is a symbol of the flesh of Jesus. It's a symbol that actually he has done it all. He's paid it all. Cross. Through this, through Jesus, through knowing him, we can live forever. So we thank you, Jesus. We speak over every single person here a renewed knowledge of you. We speak over every person here miracles, signs, and wonders. We speak over every person here life. We remember now your death. We remember that you've taken on everything, that we no longer have to carry it ourselves. And we commit this year to you. And so I take the wafer and then you can eat it. And you can peel back the juice. And the juice is a symbol of the blood. It's a symbol of the blood that covers, that you no longer have to live with shame. You no longer have to live with guilt. It's a symbol that we now have eternal life in him. So let's take the juice. And we pray, Lord, that this year would be a year of being set free in you. We pray over this year that you would to come. We pray for fruit to abound. We pray for that abiding, Lord, that we would know you in a greater way. We would know who you are. We speak your healing, your deliverance, your anointing, where there needs to be healing, deliverance. We speak your goodness now. In Jesus' name. And if you heard those words and you don't know Jesus, and you know that actually you're totally not connected and you've never been connected to the source, or you know that that branch has come off and that branch has, in terms of being connected to the source, it's all gone. We want to pray now for salvation. So if you could repeat after me, everyone in the room, dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for rising again. I declare that you are Lord, and you are my Lord. And in this time, just while people's heads are bowed and eyes are closed and people are responding, if you said that and you know that today is the day of my salvation, that I actually need to make this commitment to Jesus this morning, what I invite you to do is after three to raise your hand, and this is saying, this is my day of salvation. So one, two, three. Anyone in here? Awesome. Yeah, I see those hands. Awesome. It's going to be a good year, but I encourage you this week to spend time, whatever it is, maybe something in the message struck you, to spend time saying, actually, how can I know Jesus more? How can I be even more? We're going to pray for each and every one of you if you want to be prayed for. We're going to anoint with oil, and Chris is going to come to the front and lead that. And it's a time where we want everything God has for you this year. We want to pray over everything. We want you to be released into everything God has.
Okie dokie. I always love this time of the year. So if you are one of those folks, just before we start praying, if you're one of those folks at the end who raised their hand and responded to Jesus, or maybe you didn't raise your hand but you felt like you wanted to, on the screen behind me is a QR code saying Next Steps. With that, if you give that a scan, it will take you to our website with a couple of little videos explaining the brilliant decision you've made today. We'd love to give you a Bible, something to help you read the Bible. We'd love to pray with you some more. But the best advice we always give is keep on coming back to this church, a whole group of people that loves to walk with you and celebrate with you as you walk out this fantastic journey. And what a fantastic message from Pastor Rachel on abiding. Those four thoughts, I don't know about you, but there have been many times in my life where I've felt that, man, something's just not right. I don't know what it is. I'm eating healthily enough. I'm getting enough sleep. What's going on? And it just seems to be that, oh, maybe my Bible is a little bit dusty. I haven't picked it up in a while. Maybe my prayer life is a little bit stale. I've been talking to everyone in the busyness of life except Jesus. Maybe I've just been going to church and going through the motions. But whatever it is for you, encountering God through his word, or encountering God through prayer and fasting, or encountering God through communion in your homes, in your connect groups with your families, or encountering God in church, or encountering God through proactive love, forgiveness and joy at taking care of others. Whatever, the more you'll want to abide, the more you'll want to abide, the more life will flow even more. And amen. Awesome. Well, like Rachel said, we are going to have a time now. We do this at the start of every year where we would love to anoint each and every one of you. What's going to happen is there'll be a team at the front with some oil. Now, this isn't any sort of magic, super duper spiritual oil or anything like that. What we're saying is that this is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, whenever a king or a queen or a prophet or someone of significance to God was anointed to do their task, they had oil poured on their head. We're not going to do any pouring. We'll just have a little dab on your forehead. But the key thing is, now in the new covenant, all of us, all of you are significant to God. And I don't know if we have any kings or queens in the room, but we certainly have a whole bunch of people, every single one of you, that is called by God for a significant destiny and life and purpose in the field of family and friends, in the field of work, in the field of church, in everything. And we would just love to take a little bit of time with you at the start of this year to anoint you with this oil as a symbol of God's presence resting upon you and remaining on you as you go into the rest of this year ready with the grace and the glory and the power of God to take on whatever it is he's called you to do and to change your world. So if I could ask those that I've asked the prayer team to come to the front right now and get ready. So yes, you folks. And then here's what we're going to do. Whilst we're doing this, there will be some praise and worship on the screen behind us. Now, if you are just waiting for your turn, what you can do is you can just soak in and enjoy. Seriously, don't let this moment pass you by. In a little while, we will bring the service to a gentle close. And then those of you who are finished, you've been prayed for, you've been anointed, you can head to the back of the room. The tea and coffee and hospitality is there. But just for now, and you can just soak in this presence. And then one at a time, and I'm sure we'll form some orderly queues because this is the UK, we will have you come forward one at a time. Pick someone here. They're all wonderful people, good people, talented people. They'll put a little bit of oil on your forehead. They will bless you. And if you feel like, hey, there is something a bit more, I want to spend a little bit more time praying, feel free to grab your seat and then come forward at the end once everyone's been prayed for. And we'd love to pray for you a little bit longer as well. And what we will do is, as well, if you feel like, you know, there's something from God that you just want praying through, if you have a prophetic word or anything, we would love to spend some time talking that through with you. So, what we're going to do now is we will have some songs on the screen behind. Take some time just to soak it all in, and then when you're ready, come forward, pick one of the team, and receive a blessing for the year. Yes, preferably like row by row. So the front, one and two, you can come forward. One, two, and three, you can come forward.
Behold the Father's heart, the mystery he lavishes on us. As deep cries out too deep, oh how desperately he wants us. The things of earth stand next to him like a candle to the sun. Unfailing Father, love. Behold his holy Son, the Lion and the Lamb.
So if the folks in front of you have been prayed for, feel free to come up and join the queue. And by the way, parents, if you would like to receive prayer and blessing with your kids, feel free to head over and grab your kids now and then bring them forward, and we would love to pray with you as a family.
This is my soul. Spirit breathing holy fire within my ever present help, speaking truth when I can't find it. Until the work on earth is done.